Welcome, listeners. You are listening to More Moons and Jupiter podcast. I just finished doing a recording, and in this app, it only lets me record up to 60 minutes. And I think I had been talking for almost an hour or more, so it kind of cut off. But it didn't kind of, it did. But in the other recording, I was about to read a poem by Charles Bukowski, and I'm thinking that I should read some of the poems by him, because I really like his poems. And I'm going to be reading from What Matters Most Is How Well You Walk Through the Fire. This is the first poetry book I've read by him. And whenever I was finished reading this book, I was really intrigued. And that's whenever I got into his poetry. And some of his poems are explicit and vulgar, but it's okay, because that's his style. Before I get into the poems, there is some quotes that I was reading in the other recording, and I think I'm gonna read them in here just because, yeah, I need to hear them. I was going to do a recording like 3 days ago, maybe a couple days ago, but it didn't sound good to me, so I got in the mood to do it a couple hours ago, so here we are. I'm using some earphones that in one side you might not be able to hear me, but I still hope the audio like sounds good. And I'm going to just read a few of these quotes. This one's by Clarice Lispector. I don't know how to pronounce some of these names, but she said, "It's inside myself that I must create someone who will understand." You must understand yourself. There's this one by Paul Eluard. "There is another world that it is in this one." There is some other. Okay, this one's by Janis Joplin, and she said, "I'm just doing what I wanted to do and what feels right, and not settling for bullshit. That is a woman that knows what she wants." There's some ones that I've read that were pretty funny to me. I'm trying to find them again. I found this quote in this website that I came across accidentally. It's because we were doing classwork, and this girl said this website that we should go to that will help us apply for colleges. And I think I typed it in wrong, but I'm happy I found this website, because I like reading quotes. I think this one's pretty funny. It's by Virginia Woolf. "I want to write a novel about silence, the things people don't say." I also agree with this one by William S. Burroughs. I think that's how you pronounce it. He said, "Your mind will answer most questions if you learn to relax." Take a chill pill, people. Let's see. There's this one that I didn't know if it was being serious or not. I'm trying to look for it right now. Let's see. It should be near here. I can't remember where it was. Okay, I'm gonna read this other one because I really like what it says. It's really self reassurance. It's by Aurora, and she said, "It can be really hard to be a human." I said that so wrong. It can be really hard to be a human, and if you ever feel like you're not doing a good enough job as a human, then know that in a day our only mission could be just not to die, and then you are officially a successful human. I can't read. And then you're officially a successful human. And sometimes I think that's really nice to think about because it gives me less pressure to do anything more in a day. Because as long as I end up in bed alive, I've done a good job. I really agree with what she said. Okay, it's right here. It's by Benicio del Toro. Let's say you have a cup of coffee. You pour the milk and you put the sugar, but it don't mean nothing unless you stir it. I didn't know if it was being serious or not, and we'll never know. But okay, I'm going to start reading the poems from the book. Also, I'm very comfortable because I lit up all of my 6 candles and turned off the lights. And I was supposed to be doing homework, but I don't really have homework, so here we are. Okay. I'm just gonna read some of them. I put sticky notes on the ones I really liked, so I'm gonna read most of them. This one is titled My Garden. In the sun and in the rain and in the day and in the night, pain is a flower, pain is flowers, blooming all the time. I really wanna have a garden. And I want to have plants and flowers in my room, but I'm not so sure which ones will live for a long time without being outside. So I need to do research in that. Excuse my grammar. I don't know how to speak. I haven't read this book in a while. It's been some time. But all of these poems are really good. It's just some that I really like. Let's see. I'm looking for this one certain one. This certain one. Let's see. I can't find it. Okay, this one is a pretty good one. It is titled Scene from 1940. It says, "I knew you were a badass," he said. "You sat in the back of our class and you never said anything. Then I saw you in that brutal fight with the guy with the dirty yellow hair. I like guys like you. You're rare, you're raw, you make your own rules." "Get your fucking face out of mine," I told him. "You see," he said, "you see, he disgusted me. I turned and walked off. He had outwitted me. Praise was the only thing I couldn't handle. That basically describes his whole personality. I never knew how his voice sounded, and I wanted to, cause he used to do readings at universities when he was alive, and I wanted to hear one, and I heard his voice, and his voice wasn't what I expected, so I didn't finish watching the video, but I still like his books. But he's a pretty cool dude. Okay, I'm gonna read this one. It is named The Railroad Yard. The feelings I get... I'm gonna start over because that wasn't a good one. The feelings I get driving past the railroad yard, never on purpose but on my way to somewhere, are the feelings other men have for other things. I see the tracks and all the box cars, the tank cars, the flat cars, all of them motionless, and so many of them perfectly lined up and not an engine anywhere. Where are all the engines? I drive past looking sideways, and it all a wide, railroad. That reminded me of that girl, like, that says, eh. Where was I? Oh. Where are all the engines? I drive past looking sideways and it all a wide, still railroad yard, not a human in sight. Then I am past the yard, and it wasn't just the romance of it all that gives me what I get, but something back there, nameless, always making me feel better. As some men feel better looking at the open sea or the mountains or at wild animals or at women, I like those things too, especially the wild animals and the women. But when I see those lovely old boxcars with their faded painted lettering, and those flat cars and those fat rounded tankers, I all lined up and waiting, I get quiet inside. I get what other men get from other things. I just feel better, and it's good to feel better whenever you can, not needing a reason. Well said. It's good to feel good. Let's see. Hopefully I found the poem that I've been talking about, because I really like it. Okay. I kind of like this one too. It's named, or it's titled, Man's Best Friend. I told a guy he was watering his lawn, "You ever square my dog again and you'll have to deal with me." He just kept on watering, looking straight ahead, and he said, "I ain't worried. You punks talk about doing it, but you never do it." He was an old white-haired guy, kind of dumb. I could feel the dullness radiating off him. I yanked the hose from his hand and turned him around and sank a hard right to his gut. He dropped like a stone and just lay on his back on the lawn, holding his stomach and breathing hard. He looked pitiful. I picked up the hose and watered him down good, soaked his clothes, then gave him a good dose in his face and walked off. I went down to the store and got a fifth of scotch and a six-pack. When I came back, he was gone. I went up to my apartment and told Marie that I had taken care of the matter with the guy who squirted our dog. She asked me, "What did you do, kill him?" And I told her no, I just explained things to him. And she wanted to know what did I mean. I explained things to him. And I told her, never mind, wear some clean glasses. And then the dog came walking in. Coco, you gotta know I like him plenty. It's very cute. There's this other poem that he wrote about this dog. It was really beautiful. Okay, I also like this one. It is titled The Sensitive Young Poet. I never realized then what a good time I was having, smoking cheap cigars in my shorts and undershirt, proud of my barrel chest and my bicep, my youth, my legs. Baby, look at my legs. I've seen legs like that. Ever seen legs like that? Prancing up and down in that hotel room, I was giving her a show and she just sat there smoking cigarettes. She was nasty, a looker, but a nasty looker. I knew that she would say something vicious, but I would laugh at her. She had seen me make a whole barful of men back down one night. Each night was about the same. I put on my show for her. I'll tell her what a great brain I had. You're so fucking smart. What you're doing living in a hole like this? I'm just resting up, baby. I haven't made my move yet. There's a lot of bad words in his poems. Anywho. Bullshit, you're an asshole. What? You're an asshole. Why you wasted whore? I'll rip you in half. He does say, or he does kind of insult women. That's kind of why some people don't like him. Anywho, then would go at it, swearing loudly, throwing things, breaking things. The phone ringing from the desk downstairs. The other rumors banging on the walls, and me laughing, loving it, picking up the phone. All right, I'll keep her quiet. Putting the phone down, looking at her. All right, baby, come over here. Go to hell, you're disgusting. And I was red-faced, cigarette holes burnt in my undershirt, four-day bared, yellow teeth, broken toenails, grinding madly. I'd move toward her, glancing at the pulled-down bed. I'd move toward her, saying, hike your skirt up, I want to see more leg. I was one bad dude. She stayed 3 years. Then I moved on to the next one. The first one never lived with another man again. I cured her of that. All of this poems describe him in a way. Let's see. Hopefully I do find that poem. Let's see. Okay, this one is titled, no title, and it says, all theories like cliches, shot to hell, all these small faces looking up, beautiful and believing, I wish to whip, but sorrow is stupid, I wish to believe is a graveyard. We have narrowed it down to a butcher knife and the mockingbird wish us luck. This is the poem I was talking about that he wrote about a dog, and it's titled White Dog, and it says, I went for a walk on Hollywood Boulevard. I looked down and there was a large white dog walking beside me. His pace was exactly the same as mine, We stopped at traffic signals together. We crossed the side streets together. A woman smiled at us. He must have walked 8 blocks with me. Then I went into a grocery store, and when I came out, he was gone. Or she was gone. The wonderful white dog with a trace of yellow in its fur. The large blue eyes were gone. The greedy mouth was gone. The lolling tongue was gone. Things are so easily lost. Things just can't be kept forever. I got the blues. I got the blues. That dog loved and trusted me, and I let it walk away. It's a very good poem. I can't find the poem. Let's see. Hopefully I find it. Let's see. I saved too many poems. Too many sticky notes. Okay, this one's titled Life Dance, and it says, "The area dividing the brain and the soul is affected in many ways by experience. Some lose all mind and become soul insane. Some lose all soul and become mind intellectual. Some lose both and become accepted." This man knew Van Gogh. He knew him. This one is titled Full Moon. Red flower of love cut at the cut at the stem. Passion has its own way and hatred too. The certain blows, I swear I can't read. The curtain blows open and the sky is black out there tonight. Across the way, a man and woman standing up against a darkened wall. The red moon whirls. A mouse runs along the windowsills, changing colors. I'm alone in torn Levi's and a white sweatshirt. She's with her man now in the shadow of the wall, and as he enters her, I draw upon my cigarette. He's always, he used to be always smoking or drinking. Even in interviews, he would be drinking. This one's titled When the Violets Roar at the Sun. They've got us in the cage, ruin of grace and sense, and the heart roars like a lion at what they've done to us. I can't find the poem. Let's see. Can't find it. Also, he had a daughter, and I found it hard to believe for some reason. I still can't believe it. Can't find it. This one's titled This Moment. It's a Ferris, the great actors, the great poets, the great statesmen, the great painters, the great composers, the great loves. It's a Ferris. I don't know if I'm saying that word correct. History and the recording of it. Forget it. You must begin all over again. Throw all that out, all of them out. You're alone with now. Look at your fingernails, touch your nose, begin. The day flings itself upon you. We have entered chapter 2, and I actually like the name of this chapter. Is love is, and is spelled I-Z, a big fat turkey, and every day is Thanksgiving. It should be here. For sure, it should be here. I hope I didn't pass it, because let's see. I don't think it's that one. There's a lot of poems in just this one book. Let's see. It's that poem that I want to read has a really good, it's a really good story. Hopefully find it. Okay, I also like this, I like this poem because he cares about his car. And it's titled Morning Love. I awakened about 10:30 a.m. Sunday morning, and I sat straight up in bed, and I said, "Oh, Jesus Christ." And she said, "What's the matter, Hank?" And I said, "It's my car. Do you remember where we parked last night?" And she said, "No, I don't." And I said, "Well, I think there's something strange going on." And I got dressed and went out on the street. I was worried. I had no idea where the car was. And I walked up my street and down the next street, and I didn't see it. I have love affairs with my cars. And the older they are and or the longer I have them, the more I care. This one was an Asian love. Ancient love. Then 3 blocks to the west, I saw it parked dead center in the middle of a very narrow street. Nobody could enter the street or leave it. My car sat there calmly like a forgotten drunk. I walked over, got it, put the key in, and it started. There was no ticket. I felt good. I drove it to my street and parked it carefully. I walked back up the stairs and opened the door. "Well, is your car all right?" she asked. "Yeah, I found it," I said. "Guess where it..." "You worry too much about that goddamn car," she snapped. "Do you bring back any 7-Up, any beer? I need something now." I undressed and got back into bed and pushed my fat ass up against her feet, her fat belly, and never said another word. It's pretty funny. Man, I can't find it. I also like this poem, but it's kind of too explicit, too vulgar, but I'm still gonna read it. It's titled Nana, and it says, "She fucked 200 men in 10 states. 5 committed suicide, 3 have gone entirely mad. Every time she moves to a new city, 10 men follow her. Now she sits on my couch in a short blue dress, and she seems quite healthy and chipper, even looks innocent. I lose interest in man," she says, "as soon as he begins to care for me. I refill her drink, and she pulls her dress up, shows me her black panties. Don't these look sexy?" She asks. I tell her that they do look sexy. She gets up, walks across the room, through my bedroom and into the bathroom. Soon I hear the toilet flush. Her name is Nana, and she has been living on Earth for the past 5,000 years. Crazy. Ugh, can't find that. I think it's this one. No, is it? I think it is this one. Okay, yeah. It is this one. And this one's also pretty explicit, but I'm still gonna read it. It's titled Sloppy Love. Sally was a sloppy lever. She was good with farewell notes. She wrote them in a large Indian hand. Sally was always Indian. She was good at that. And she always took most of her clothes, but I'd sit and look about, and there'd be pink slipper under the bed. I'd get down under the bed to get that pink slipper, to throw it in the trash, and next to the slipper, I'd find a pair of stained panties. And there was hairpins everywhere, in the ashtray, on the dresser, in the bathroom. And her magazines were also everywhere with their exotic headlines. Man kidnaps girl, then throws her body from 400-foot cliff. 9-year-old boy rapes 4 women in Greyhound Depot restroom. Sally was a sloppy leaver. In the top drawer next to the Kleenex, I find all the notes I've written to her, neatly bounded with rubber bands. She was a sloppy with her photos. I find one of both of us crouched on the hood of our 58 Playmobil, Sally showing a lot of leg and grinding like a Kansas City mall, and me showing the bottoms of my shoes with the holes in them. And there was photos of dogs, and all of them ours, and photos of children, most of them hers. She leave an hour later, the phone would ring, and it would be Sally in the background music from a jukebox song. Some song I hated. And while she talked, I'd hear man's voice too. "Sally, Sally," I'd say. "Come on back, baby." "No," she said. "There are other men in the world beside you. But I could have loved you forever, Chinansky." That's his character's name. "And get fucked," I say, and hang up. I pour a drink, and while looking for a sister's in the bathroom, to trim the hair around my ears. I find it bizarre, but I can't read. I find a brassiere in one of the jars and hold it up to the light. I drink my drink, then begin to trim the hair around my ears, deciding that I was quite a handsome man, but that I need to live weights, go on a diet, get a tan, and so forth. After a while, the phone would ring again, and I'd lift the receiver, hang up, lift the receiver again, and let it dangle by the cord. I'd trim my ear hairs, my nose hair, my eyebrows, then lie down and go to sleep. I'd be awakened by a sound I have never heard before. It felt and sounded like a warning of an atomic attack. I'd get up and look for the sound. It will come from the telephone still off the hook. I pick up the phone. "Sir, this is the desk clerk. Your phone is off the hook." "All right, sorry, I'll hang up." "Don't hang up, sir. Your wife is in the elevator." "My wife?" "She says she's Mr. Chinansky." "All right, it's possible." "Sir, can you get her out of the elevator? Her language is abusive and she says she won't budge until you come and help her." "And sir?"
"Yes."
"We didn't want to call the police."
"Yes."
"She's lying on the floor in the elevator, sir, and she has urinated on herself." "Okay, I'd say," and hang up. I walk out in my shorts, cigar in mouth, and press the elevator button. I can just imagine that. It will come up slowly, 1, 2, 3, 4. The doors would open, and there will be Sally. I pick her up and carry her out of here. Carry her out of there. I get her to the apartment, throw her on the bed, and pull off her wet panties, skirt, and stockings. Then I put a drink on the coffee table nearby, sit down on the couch, and wait. Suddenly, she'd sit up straight and look around the room. She'd ask, "Hank, over here." I'd wave my hand. "Oh, thank God." Then she'd see the drink and gulp it down. I'd get up, refill it, put cigarettes in an ashtray and matches nearby. Then she'd sit up again. Who took my panties off? Me, Chinansky. Chinansky, you can't fuck me. You pissed yourself. Who? You. She'd sit straight up. Or she'd sit straight. My bad, I can't read. She sits straight up then. "Chinansky, you dance like a queer. You dance like a woman." "I'd kick your goddamn ass," I'll say. Then she put her head back on the pillow. "I love you, Chinansky, I really do." She'd start snoring then. After a while, I'd get into bed with her. I wouldn't want to touch her at first. She needed a bath. I'd get one leg up against hers. It didn't seem too bad. I'll try the other. I'd remember all the good days and the good nights. Slip one arm under her neck. Then I'd put the other around her belly, gently. Her hair would fall back and climb into my face. I'd feel her inhale, then exhale. We'd sleep like that most of the night and into the next afternoon. Then I'd be the first to get up and go to the bathroom, and then she'd get up and have her turn. And that's the end of the poem. For some reason, I like that poem. But this is all I'm going to read for today. I hope y'all enjoyed. My bad, I'm not that good at reading. I tend to stutter a lot. But thank you for listening. I hope y'all enjoyed. And I forgot that I had said this in the other recording, but I do have something coming this month on the 23rd, on the last day of summer. And I have something planned for the month of October, which is with the witch season. So hope y'all stay tuned in for that, and I hope y'all have a great night or day. Thank you.